Well, they beat Fiji at rugby league over the weekend, but things at home for Papua New Guinea aren't looking too good. Is their economy at risk of spiralling into crushing debt? Last month, PNG's Prime Minister Peter O'Neill announced that the Manus Island Processing Centre would close following a PNG Supreme Court's finding that Australia's detention of asylum seekers on the island was illegal and unconstitutional. Less noticed was that PNG's credit rating has been further downgraded. The new rating by Moody's means PNG now sits 5 levels below junk bond status, which means it's a high risk of economic default. The high cost of borrowing is just the latest economic setback for the country. So is Australia's neighbour on the verge of economic danger? To find out more, we're joined by Paul Flanagan, Director of the Indo-Pacific Public Policy and Economics and a leading commentator on PNG's economy. Good morning, Paul. How are you doing?
Good morning, Mitch. Well, thank you.
So what are the economic effects of PNG's recent credit rating downgrade by Moody's, do you think?
Probably the Moody's downgrading has little impact because it does move it from 4 levels below junk bond status to 5 levels below junk bond status. The implications probably more are related to business confidence, the ideas of investment in PNG, and because of the difficulties the PNG economy is facing, it really does need to see a lift in business investment and an improvement in confidence to try and restore growth, especially growth in areas that would most benefit the people of PNG rather than just the resource sector.
If we talk about the resource sector, PNG is paying interest on a $1.2 billion loan it took out to increase its stake in Oil Search, the company behind a huge liquefied natural gas project. How will this loan, whether from the World Bank or any other lender, impact the economic situation?
Well, PNG is looking to try and borrow some funds from the World Bank. This is in part because it is facing an incredible foreign exchange crisis. If you're a business in PNG wanting to pay a bill for imports, you have to go to the central bank and join a queue. And essentially, for most businesses, they can only get about $10,000 per day. And so if you're importing something big, that makes it very hard to pay for your imports. Mm. That hurts your business. And so that's a real challenge. Now, the PNG government's said they're going to invite the IFC, part of the World Bank, to loan $300 million to help with this currency crisis. It's a band-aid. It doesn't deal with the underlying problems. And if you actually look at the IFC website, you'll see, in fact, only $100 million will be considered by the board. So it's only one-third of a band-aid. This sort of policy won't deal with those underlying challenges that are facing PNG and underlying challenges that have to be faced to try and lift that standard of living for those 7.5 million people living on our borders, one-third of whom live in absolute poverty. Something needs to be done.
Yeah, so tell us about how this economic situation has kind of affected things like health, education and infrastructure in the country.
Well, PNG, just as background, it's a very poor country. It's only 10 kilometres off our northernmost point in Australia. Of the 7.5 million people, an estimated 3 million people live in absolute poverty. This is struggling to even meet the most basic food intake to meet the requirements of a calorie for a human being to exist. So it's a very poor country. In trying to build that country up, obviously improving education and health are important investments in the people of PNG. Because of the economic crisis that's been faced, the budgetary problems and some economic mismanagement, essentially they thought they were going to get a lot of revenues coming in from their mineral boom. They spent that in advance. They had deficits close to 10%, deficit to GDP ratio, so very, very high. Mm. But in fact, the revenues didn't come through. So they're now cutting back drastically on government expenditure. And so that sort of cuts in education and health of around 45% predicted between 2015 and 2017.
Wow.
So they're huge cuts and they will have real impacts on the people of PNG.
If we turn now to PNG's politics, the Supreme Court recently dismissed Prime Minister O'Neill's move to prevent anti-corruption police from investigating him. Why is he being investigated and can he dodge something like that?
Well, it's a big question as to whether he can sort of dodge the growing list of corruption allegations against the Prime Minister. Of course, these are just allegations. The issue is that he's been reluctant to actually go to court to face those allegations that came through from initially a task force, an anti-corruption task force that he established. Now, as we even read the papers this morning, Mitch, I'm actually a bit worried. The headlines of the papers have the Prime Minister indicating he will not stand down, while university students from around the country and in Port Moresby, they're planning to have a march at 9 a.m. this morning. The police have indicated that march will be illegal.
Okay.
Back in 2001, a situation of students protesting against the government saw 4 students killed in those protests. So I really do hope that today, with this type of constitutional crisis that's evolving because the Prime Minister isn't willing to sort of face only the charges against him in terms of corruption, that this is leading to growing civil unrest and the real unease in the country. Even the editorial in today's paper talks about unease and says it's time for the leadership in PNG to change their compass, because even the editorial feels they've lost touch with the masses.
Something definitely to keep watch on today. And just one final question, Paul. Traditionally, Australia has sort of been involved in PNG's governance, but we've turned our back recently. Why do you think that is? And is it time for us to reconnect with PNG in a deeper level?
I think it's certainly time to reconnect. You know, this is a country that used to be our colony. On our star, on our flag, we've got 7 points to the star. One of those points was actually there to allow the possibility that Papua New Guinea would actually be part of Australia as a territory. We've got these historic links. The football ties that were around on the weekend. If you're up in Port Moresby when the Reds and the Blues are playing, the Blues and the Maroons, it's a much, much higher profile activity because of those sort of people-to-people linkages, and we're losing those. Mm. We've cut our aid program in real terms by 75% per person in PNG, and that's another driver behind some of the health and education problems they're facing. We can do a lot more in PNG.
All right, let's leave it there. But Paul, thanks so much for joining us on 2SER this morning.
My pleasure, Mitch.